Praise the Lord. Did you get a breakthrough during praise and worship? I hope so. Because God said he wanted you to celebrate this morning, so we celebrated. Amen. How many know we're in a time of war? Like never before. But how many know that we are the victorious ones? How many of you know the devil comes in every way he can come to fight you every day, every second of every day? But we are still the victorious ones, amen? And how many of you sometimes just like to take the devil and just choke him to death? Amen? I mean, you just get so sick and tired of fighting the same things over and over and over again. My question is just like everybody else's, how come the devil sometimes seems to win the battle for a second or two, you know? Yeah, I just, we should be so full of the glory of God that the devil couldn't, he'd be scared to come anywhere near us, right? That's the problem. We're not that full of the glory. Well, Father, I thank you for all those who came out to sit at your table this morning and to be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father, I'm asking that you open each and every spiritual heart tonight, this morning, to receive what thus saith the Lord. First of all, Father God, open to unplug the spiritual ears. Open the spiritual eyes, then let the seed go down into the heart. And Father God, we cover that seed with the blood of Jesus so we can produce good fruit. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And there's all kind of stuff on the news, but you can't believe the news. How many don't even want to read the news anymore? You know, because you never, once you start reading, you see, well, this isn't even the truth, so then you quit, you know, so just wasting your time. I was thinking the other day, just read the Bible. There's more truth in that than in what the media has on TV, right? Instead of us putting all that dumb junk in our systems we need, in our spirits, just read the Bible. All right, I'm calling this tonight, never give up long-suffering in the end times. Never give up long-suffering in the end times. Now, on September the 19th, God prophetically spoke to me personally and said, the night seasons have come upon this land, and many will lose their lives in total disbelief of what they are facing. Now, God gave me that word, but I forget about what he says. Then I start teaching on the night seasons right after that. And then I happened to run across this the other day, and I said, oh, he talked about the night season in there. And so then he started teaching us about the night seasons so that we would be prepared to overcome whatever comes our way. All right. And I hope you've been taking to heart what I have been saying. And whenever when you're in your night seasons, and a lot of us are in our night season today, right now, aren't we? Some of us have night seasons going on in our life, and we need to remember what God's been telling us so that we don't go under. All right. That we aren't taken out. And it's very, very imperative, saints, that your walk is holy before the Lord. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and in fact, God was talking to me last night about, you know, so many think they're just fine and they're not. They think because they had an anointing and when you were walking with God 100%, and now when you're dabbling in a little bit of sin here and there, and the anointing's still there, you think you're all right with God and you're not. I would really cry out to God every day, God, am I in 100% in your will? Because the ones that are dabbling in a little bit of sin here and there, you know, backbiting, I don't care what it is. When you stand before God, you're going to be one of those guys who say, you know, but I cast out devils, I healed the sick. Or whatever you tell God you did, he'll say, depart from me, you worker iniquity. I don't know you. God never takes back his gifts. His gifts are always there. Once you receive the gifts, they're there. The anointings are always there. But that doesn't mean you're headed for heaven. So I want you to keep that in your spirit, because I was reading an article where somebody thinks they can go ahead and sin and go to heaven just because they still perform miracles, and that's not true. Because that's the enemy working through you. All right, Psalm 100, verse 1 through 5 says, is a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. That's why I just decided, you know, I just felt we had to do a song, fast song service, and I felt like it just lined up with this scripture. Amen. Now, in Daniel 12, the Lord talks about the end times. And believe it or not, we are in the end times. You know, I read something the other day, and I can't remember where I read it at, but they were saying that we're talking about being in the days of Noah, which God told us we were. And he said people are really looking at that in the wrong way. He said that in the days of Noah, men were marrying men and men were marrying animals too. And, you know, when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, it was because of the homosexuality there. But we also know that everything else is rotten too. But we just need to be really concerned about what's going on around about us, what our eyes are seeing and what we're thinking and what we ourselves are doing. All right, in Daniel 12, the Lord talks about the end times and conveys a personal message not only to Daniel but to all of us. In Daniel 12, 9 through 10, go thy way, for the words are closed up and sealed to the end, till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tested, but the wise shall understand. Now, Daniel's prediction seems to be on the horizon right now. Many Christians are being tried and purified and tested as never before. Are you not? Something is different. Something has changed in the world as we know it. Something has been unleashed. And we can safely say it's what Daniel calls the coming time of the end. Now, God gave me a personal prophetic word about a week ago, and he said, daughter, that's when that person was saying September 23rd, the world was going to end. He said, the world is not going to end on September 23rd, but my son is coming sooner than anybody thinks. All right, and that's all he said. And only God knows when his son is going to come. But I want you to quit acting like you have 50, 60, 70, or 150 years to get it right. You need to get it right now, because God said your rapture is the day you die. And you never know when your heart's going to stop beating. Right? David Wilkerson wrote in his Times Square Pulpit series, and he says, in all my years of ministry, I've never seen so many believers under such affliction. There has never been a time like this, with families facing financial crisis, enduring marital struggles, despairing over children in rebellion, wives and families are being overwhelmed. Pastors are quitting by the hundreds in every nation. Everywhere we look, we see pandemic despair. We're living in a time of the greatest gospel revelation in history. There are more preachers, more books, more gospel media saturation than ever before. Yet, there has never been more distress, affliction, and troubled minds among God's people. Now that was what David Wilkerson said, all right. From my own walk of 30 years with the Lord, it appears that God has begun to wrap up life as we know it. He's accomplishing this by allowing more world problems, a greater magnitude of personal problems, and a wave of evil that we have not experienced before. How many of you sitting here this morning, you would have never, if 10 years down the road, somebody would have told you were going through what you're going through today, you would have called them a liar. You would never have believed that you would be where you're at today. Consequently, Christians are being forced to choose sides. The Lord is not letting us be fence sitters anymore. Lukewarmness is no longer being tolerated, and no one is exempt from God's purging. We're all in the fire together. That's why God said you're not the only one in the boat. But rather than get burned up from ignorance, apathy, and fear, let's find out how to use these difficult times to our advantage and for his glory. The Lord tells us that in the days just before he returns, every aspect of our lives will be tested. And how many of you are being tested at the very core of your being? All our secrets exposed and all our motives revealed. All our secrets exposed and all of our motives revealed. And how many of you are going through that right now? 1 Peter 4:17-18. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin first among God's own children. And if even we who are Christians must be judged, what terrible fate awaits those who have never believed in the Lord. If the righteous are barely saved, what chance will the godless have? Some of us sitting here tonight, you're not gonna make it to heaven because you're barely saved. You're still not walking the walk that God's called you to walk. You're still not doing the things that God's called you to do. You still walk on a fence. You still tell half truths. You don't really live the life that God's called you to live. You're not gonna make it to heaven. I want to make sure you understand this, that when you stand before God, you can't say, "She didn't tell me." I myself, every day, I have to question, am I going to make it to heaven? Every day, I keep checking myself. Have you done something that's not pleasing to God? Every day, more than one time a day. Because you never know when your heart's going to stop beating. You never know when you're going to have an accident. You just never know. And I want to make sure that I make heaven my home. I'm fighting things right now I never thought I'd ever fight in my life, aren't you? And you think, who am I now? I just never thought I'd ever go there, right? I'm not saying you're doing anything bad. I'm saying you're fighting. The enemy's bringing things into your life that you thought you would never, ever, ever have to face. But here it is. And we have to face it. And we not only have to face it, we have to get through it. See, that's the big obstacle, is getting through it. So that his will might be accomplished, that we might become more conformed to his image, Romans 8:29 says, "For from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, and all along he knew who would, God knows who's going to come to him, who isn't, should become like his son, and that we should become like Jesus, so that his son would be the first with many brothers." Each one of us sitting here, we're supposed to become just like Jesus. So every place we go, people will see Jesus and they'll want what you have. Now, if you have the world in you, they're not going to want, if you have a mixture, they're not going to want a mixture. They already live in a mixture, the world does. They want to see the true Jesus shining through you. Now, the method that God seems to use in order to implement his will in our lives is difficult times. It has been aptly said that we are forged in a crucible of adversity. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? You have to look at your life and see why God caused adversity to come into your life. He wanted to change you into the image of his son, Jesus. And he hadn't been able to do it any other way, so he brought adversity into your life. However, James 1:3-4 gives us a wonderful promise. It says that if we allow it to, the testing of our faith will produce patience or endurance, and we are to let that patience have its perfect work, that we may be complete and entire, lacking nothing. This is his will. The reason why some of you gotten in so much trouble is because you don't have any patience. God just isn't moving quick enough, so you move for him. Amen. Clearly, the scripture is saying that the means by which we are able to withstand God's testings and be conformed into his image is a fruit of long suffering, which is patient endurance. And when I was studying this, I was preaching to myself first, because I am losing long suffering very rapidly, and I'm being honest about it. All right. And I don't think I'm the only one standing in here today that's losing long suffering. So this is why, I guess God had me teach this. Long suffering is simply the determination never to give up, never to give in, and never to let go. And every now and then I want to give in and sock the devil in the nose. Amen. When I'm supposed to be loving and kind and patient and all that stuff, my long suffering has given up. This is the only attitude that will get us through these coming end times. So let me read that again. Long suffering is simply the determination never to give up, never to give in, and never to let go. This is the only attitude that will get us through these coming end times. No matter how we look at it, long suffering seems to go with being a Christian. Come on. As I was putting this together and I was studying, the last couple of days, God talked about marriages, and he was saying how sad he is about marriages that just can't get it together. You know, one's trying really super hard, the other isn't trying at all. So then the one that was trying really super hard finally gives up long suffering. Then the one that was causing all the problem decides they're going to get right. Then the other one that was trying to get right, they're already wrong. And it's just a mad, vicious circle. And what God wants us to do is he wants us to get us to get on an even keel. And he wants us to stay there. And he wants our marriages to exemplify heaven. And it's going to take long suffering to do that. Now, most of us were not aware of this fruit, you know, long suffering, when we signed on with God. But at this point in our walk with the Lord, we have no other choice but to proceed. All right? Come on. Luke reminds us that those who look back are not fit for the kingdom. Luke 9:62 says, "But Jesus said to him, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" And God has been telling us from day one, once you place your hands to the plow to do the things that God's called you for to do or that you promised God you would do, you don't have the option of looking back or saying, "Oh, I made a mistake back there." You have to keep moving on with God. Are we listening? Too many sitting in this house today are looking back and they've taken their hand off the plow and they don't want to do the things they promised God they were going to do, and it's causing you a whole lot of problems. Get your hands back on the plow and keep plowing forward. Doesn't do you any good to plow backwards. If you're a farmer, you know that. Besides, where else would we go? You know, if we don't go forward, where else are we going to go? Who else has the answers to life? And who else knows the end from the beginning? Only Jesus Christ knows that. Why trials? Here's God's will again. Is that Christ? It's his will that Christ may be formed in each of us. That's why we go through trials. Galatians 4:19. "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Trials and testing seem to be the way this is accomplished. God wants us conformed into his image so that others may see Christ in us and truly want what we have. All right, let's just say you're upset with your father. Your father did something terrible to you all your life. And now you profess to be going to church and profess to be a Christian, but you won't forgive your father for what he did. It's not godly. You have to forgive. And you have to forget and move on. And if you truly are in Christ, you can forgive and you can move on. When we genuinely reflect Christ in all that we do, see, by forgiving the father who abused you, others will come to the conclusion that Christianity really works. But if they still see you being ignorant and won't talk to your father, you know, or it could be a child, it could be a mother, it could be an aunt, uncle, or another Christian, they're not going to want what you have because you're still you. All right? There's no hypocrisy. Our words and deeds match. You know, whatever we say we do, if we speak it, we have to be doing it. It's the real thing because Jesus is real. Come on. That's why I share so much about what I go through, because I want you to see that you have to do these things if you're going to go on and be used by God. And you know, if you're in a marriage, it's not good. You and your husband or you and your wife have got to come to a conclusion that whoever's doing the preaching, they have to bring things out and in the open to go ahead and show what Christ can do through you as you go through your struggles. Because I don't know about you, when I was first born again, I thought every pastor was God. And they had no problems. And I always tried to live up to what I thought that pastor was. And then all of a sudden I found out the pastors weren't even living for God, just drawing a paycheck. Then that blew my mind too. And so, you know, you have to be open and honest with people. You have to be like a window where people just see you, just a mirror, and just, this is who I am. This is what I go through. This is how I accomplish what I go through. You can do it too. Amen. And women, if you'll just look back in the Bible, women were treated really bad all through the Bible days. They were just nothing. But that wasn't what God wanted from the beginning. He wasn't. That's just what men did. Now, and I don't know about you, but I was one of the women that just sit back and just let, well, whatever's going to happen, happen. And I never should have done that. And I'm out of that groove. And we need to start standing up for what is right. You know, we can't let men walk all over us. We're children of God, like the men are. We're formed in His image, like the men were. And we are equal. We're equal. Isn't that what God did when He took the rib of Adam and made Eve? They were equal. He didn't make one above the other. And when I was first born again, all I ever heard was submit, submit, submit. And I went home and said, God, what's this submit thing? Because I didn't know my word at that point. And He said, if my children would love each other the way they ought, you would never hear the word submit ever. But because they won't love the way I've commanded them to love, you'll always hear submit. So that's telling me if you love your husband or if you love your wife the way you should, you're not going to say submit to me. You're not going to lay hands on them and beat them. You're not going to try to lord it over them and make them feel like they're nothing. Amen. Come on. I've been doing a lot of reflecting on my life, the wrong mistakes I made for the wrong reasons, and I'm upset with myself. So women, you don't get upset with yourself. Just get over it. And you be the woman of God, because God's bringing women forth. And you be the woman of God that called you forth to be, but don't usurp your authority now. Or you be like Jesus, submissive, you know, to God and what God wants you to do. All right? You know how many men will have destroyed women's ministries? They do it willingly and knowingly because they can't stand the fact that God is using the woman instead of the man. That happens all the time. All right, God wants us conformed into His image so that others may see Christ in us and truly want what we have. When we genuinely reflect Christ in all that we do, others will come to the conclusion that Christianity really works. There's no hypocrisy. Our words and deeds match. It's a real thing. Jesus is real. As John 13:35 tells us, they will know we are Christians by what? By our flowery words? I don't think so. By our good deeds? Lots of people do good deeds. No, they will know we are Christians by seeing Christ's genuine love and compassion in and through us. God wants us to be willing to set ourselves aside in every situation, no matter how difficult. And how many of you can say that that's become really hard right now? That the enemy has brought the darkness in like never before, and it's really, really hard. So what I said was, God wants us to be willing to set ourselves aside in every situation, no matter how difficult. I talk to God more than you think I do about these things, amen? Because, see, I have to get myself together before I can teach to you, or what I'm teaching won't do you any good. In doing so, we not only prove to Him that we love Him, but we also show that we truly belong to Him. Now, a perfect example is Genesis 22. In this chapter, Abraham is about ready to sacrifice his only son, as God had asked him to. When the Lord stops him and says in verse 12, "Now I know that you fear or love God, seeing that you have not withheld thy son, your most precious possession." Abraham was willing to do anything that God asked him to do. But if you go on to read all that, he just knows somewhere along the line, God is not going to allow him to go ahead and kill his son. He has that much trust and faith in God, knowing that even though God asked, and this is a test of obedience, and so he obeyed. He knew somewhere along the line God was going to make a sacrifice instead of his son. Now see, each one of us need to have Abraham's faith. If God asks us to do something, we say, "Yes, Lord," and we mean "Yes, Lord," like Abraham did, because he went through everything he had to go through to go sacrifice the son. But all the time in the inner part of our heart, we know that God is in control and He's going to make a way at the very end. Amen. We too must learn how to totally give ourselves over to the Lord in circumstances, not withholding any part of ourselves. We must be willing to lay these things down at the cross, remembering that nothing can touch us but what God has not first ordained. We must be willing to lay these things down at the cross, remembering that nothing can touch us but what God has not first ordained. There's nothing that comes upon our lives that God has not first of all known about. All right? In other words, no person, no situation, no tragedy, and no illness can come into our lives that is not Father filtered and allowed by his sovereign permission. Read Job if you don't believe that. And when he does say yes to certain difficult situations, he promises to be with us, to never fail or forsake us, to strengthen us, to help us, and to uphold us. You find that in Isaiah 41:10. And I say that because one time I wasn't saying a word to God. I was just weeping. And God spoke to me, daughter, I know how rough this is. I know all the pain you're going through. But keep going because I'm with you in this whole thing. He said, I understand. I really understand. But you must continue on with this assignment that I've given you. So I said, and when he does say yes to certain difficult situations, he promises to be with us, to never fail or forsake us, to strengthen us, to help us, and to uphold us. And you can find that in Isaiah 41:10. The most wonderful promise is tucked away in 2 Timothy 2:12, which says that if we suffer for him, we shall also reign with him. Is there a lost soul that God's assigned to you, for you to pray for and to make sure that you pull them up out of hell? And they come against it, cause you all manner of pain and difficulty. You have to keep doing it until God says stop. So I said the most wonderful promise is tucked away in 2 Timothy 2:12, which says that if we suffer for him, we shall also reign with him. Some people don't want to suffer nothing. They don't even want to give up their sleep. After all, I'm tired. Well, big whoop, I'm tired too. Amen. Come on. I'm not only tired, I'm sick. You know? The definition of suffering means to bar ourselves from following sin and self. Bar ourselves from following sin and self. Obviously, when we do this, we often do suffer, but he promises that the result will be reigning with him. What glory, what hope, and what a vision for the future. The Lord is telling us that the fruit of long-suffering is absolutely critical to learn and experience. And because I'm growing short in my long-suffering, God is making sure I'm being tested to the very core of my being right now. So what should I do? All right, Lord, I surrender. All right, and then he'll take this thing away from my life, right? There seems to be eternal consequences. Now, all right, let's talk about a biblical example of long-suffering. There are many examples of long-suffering in the Bible. The primary one, of course, being Jesus. But there's another one that stands out. It's a story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel's three friends, whom Nebuchadnezzar had thrown into the fiery furnace. Because they would not bow down and worship the king, rather than bemoan their fate, these three brave men declared in Daniel 3:17 through 18 that the God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Can you imagine giving that kind of a response to the king of the known world at that time? You could be got your head chopped off, right? And Daniel 3:19 and 20 says, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. If you read the story, those men got burned up, didn't they? Throwing them in there. We all know the end of the story. When Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire to see what happened, he said, verses 24 through 25, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? His servants answered, yes, my lord. Nebuchadnezzar then said, but I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the fourth is like the Son of God. See what their faith did for them? Truly, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego exemplified the fruit of long-suffering. They never let go, never gave in, and never gave up. They endured and persevered until they saw him who is invisible, even in the fire. I know a lot of you in here, you just say, I'll bow, don't throw me in that furnace. Amen? What about us? Well, what about us? Most of us talk very openly about being like Christ and of having his characteristics of love, joy, peace. But what about the fruit of long suffering? That determination to never give up, never give in, or let go. Do we manifest this fruit to others? How easy is it for us to simply preach Christ crucified without ever really living it? And that is, I see so many Christians at the house of God acting so pious, and they are about as lost can get. So do we manifest a fruit to others? How easy is it for us to simply preach Christ crucified without ever really living it? The question we must ask ourselves is, how can we preach Christ crucified if we really don't understand what long-suffering is all about? It's crucial that the messenger become the message itself. In other words, you're going to have to be a long-sufferer if you're going to make the world believe in long-suffering. Think about that for a moment. The messenger, the one relaying God's word, must become the message itself, the one living God's word. Maybe that's why I have to do long suffering, because I'm delivering the word, so I have to live it first. Amen. So I can give it out. Do you really want a position with God? Do you really want to preach his word? Well, then you're going to have to go through all this stuff before you give it out, because you're going to have to know that you can overcome. All right? You know, we're talking about night season. You have to live it and go through your night season so that you don't die. God told me, he said, daughter, please don't die in your winter months. That was it. Everything was dry and dead and everything else, and nothing was alive. And I was struggling, and God said, please don't die in your winter months. Spring is on its way. It took a long time for spring to get here, a couple years. But see, I had to live it. I had to go through it in order to preach it. Are you understanding this? So the next time you're going through, and like if you're going through something right now, quit being so upset about it. Know that God is testing you, God is trying you, and you're going through the furnace of affliction, and he's getting you ready to go forth and to minister to a lost and dying world. Amen? All right, where am I at here? What she was saying. All right, think about that for a moment. The messenger, the one relaying God's word, must become the message itself, the one living God's word. What she was saying is that, you know, this is what somebody else said. What she was saying is that we must not only talk the talk, we must also live the message of God's love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering. One of Jesus' main characteristics was long-suffering love. That is very difficult right now. Because everything is grossly dark. The enemy's trying to take God's children out. He doesn't want you to get over into this victory circle, so he's trying to take you out before you get there. And so he's trying to keep you from long-suffering love. You'd be long-suffering and still not love. I got to put up with this junk. See, you know, that's not long-suffering love. Do we emulate this kind of love to our spouses, to our families, and to our friends? How can we even talk about the fruit of the Spirit if we don't manifest all of it? You listening? No, just don't manifest one or two. You have to manifest all of it. There's no way we can communicate God's message of love to others, especially in trials, if we have not first experienced it for ourselves. And some of you hear me sometime, I come in or my real close friends, blah, 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 blah. What's that? You know, then you pray for me. Because sometimes the trials get hard, do they not? And sometimes the devil just presses and presses and presses and presses. And he's trying to take, well, I'm talking about myself, trying to take me out so that I am not a witness to others. And so if it's going on with you too, he's trying to take you out so that you're not a witness to others. I think in looking at Astrid, I thought about her and her mother in Puerto Rico. You know, she found out her mother was fine. And now I think you're trying to get her to America. You know, and so she had to go through all that testing, all those trials, all that pressing, and her answer's on the way. But she didn't give up. She kept going on, right? Come on. Head knowledge can only produce head knowledge in others. You know, in other words, if it's just in your head, you never experienced it. That's head knowledge. Heart knowledge can only produce heart knowledge, what you know in your heart. But foot knowledge, his life showing forth in our actions, births foot knowledge in others. In other words, when people see you walk through the hard times and seeing you make it, then they know they can make it too. Amen? Come on. I'm excited right now because God's doing a new thing. I don't know what the new thing is, but I feel the excitement in the air. And you know, and I've been having some dreams lately that's showing me who's for me and who's against me. And God told me he would do that. And God's talking to me about other things. And God is on the move. And we're going to see the great and powerful things that God has promised us. And I just want you all to get encouraged this morning and know that God is God. He's still on the throne. And, you know, and he's going to vindicate you in his timing. And don't worry about being vindicated. Just move on with God and do the things he's calling you forth to do. I don't care if all hell's breaking loose around about you. I don't care if you're down in the fire, you know, trying to get somebody out. God is still in control, or he wouldn't let you down the fire pulling somebody out. All right. Our daily prayer, Our daily prayer should be exactly what Paul prayed in 2 Corinthians 4:12, that death would work in us, that we would learn to set ourselves aside so that Christ's life could be formed in others. What did I tell you when I was talking to somebody about getting married? I said, you know, when you get married, you die. You're no longer number one. Your wife is number one, and it's no longer you that liveth. Christ living in you and you taking care of a wife, not expecting somebody else to, right? You have children, you no longer live. All right, so you have to get up all the wee hours in the morning. Your choice to have a child. Amen? And so quit complaining. So if you didn't think about that before you did your thing, well, too bad. Your thing produced something. It's a baby. And the baby is not gonna do what you want him to do or her to do. It's going to do what it wants to do. Amen? All right, producing the fruit of long-suffering in us is one of God's ways of answering that prayer, you know, that Christ, we die. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they endured by seeing him who is invisible in the fire with them. They didn't know that Jesus was, you know, an angel was going to be in that fire with them. They just trusted God and they endured. Now, Hebrews 11 is a chapter on faith. I want you to read it. Then ask yourself if you have true faith to endure long suffering. I think some of you say, oh. It won't be a resounding yes. It'll be, oh. I have a little work to do here. God told us years ago that we were going to have to walk by faith, total and complete faith. You know, we couldn't walk any other way but by faith. Some of you didn't believe that then, and you still don't believe today, and I feel sorry for you because you're lost and undone. Because this is a total faith walk, and nothing else is going to work except total faith. And you're just going to have to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. You're going to have to learn to endure the trials and tribulations that you're going through. And I can say that acting all confident, but I'm not all confident because I have to struggle through these things too. And my people that live with me know that I struggle through these things. I'm honest and I'm open. You know, I love the God and I know he's going to do it. But right now I'm upset you know. And I talked to somebody in the home this morning, and they didn't want to believe me. I said, you can believe what you want to believe, but I'm telling you the truth. Now, you can either take what I tell you and take it to God, or you can just shove it off like you're trying to and get yourself in trouble. You know, it's, I can't make you believe me. I can't make you go to church. I can't make you live a holy life. I can only tell you about it by my experiencing it. And then what you do with that is totally completely up to you. But I'm going to tell you right now. In fact, I'm going to tell on Brad right now. I was sitting behind him the last time he was here. I think it was on Wednesday night. And God said, look at his back. So I looked at his back, and he said, that's the back of a man. And then he said, now look at his neck and his head. And so I did. He said, that's the neck and the head of a man. He said, now the front has to line up with the back. He had, in other words, he had to become a man inside out. And I explained that to him, and he was excited because he didn't know that. And so I said, and all God sees in you, Brad, is a man. He doesn't see your past. He sees a man. And Brad's working to be that man that God said he was going to be. So you see, you know, he's walking just by faith. He's just taking what I say and believing what I say to him because he does trust me. He knows I don't lie to him, and he doesn't lie to me. We're honest with and open with each other, and we can say what we want to each other, and you know, and we know that we'll understand each other. Now, how many of you in here can be that honest and that open? Can somebody come to you and tell you this is what God showed me? And then it might be a bad thing, but can you take the bad thing that God showed and make, you know, take it before God and have God change it? Everything's up to you. It's all a faith walk. It's all a faith walk. Mary, God was saying to you this day, daughter of Zion, I am God, and I love you. I see your pain, I see your heartache, and I see your tears. Sometimes I see your confusion, because you don't know which way to go, you don't know what to say, what to do any longer. But I say unto you, endure, little one, endure. Endure, and I promise you that I'm going to make all things new. I'm going to take what looks like a disaster, and I'm going to change it into a miracle. You've been faithful, and you've been just, and you've been true to me. Now I'm going to, in turn, be the same to you. I know right now everything looks lost. Everything looks hopeless. But, daughter, don't look at that. Look unto me, the author and finisher of your life. Remember all the words I've spoken over your life. And know that I, the Lord thy God, am well able to accomplish all that I have spoken. Daughter, bring your fears to me. Not to others, but bring them to me. Because it's you and I that's going to straighten this mess out. And it truly is a mess. But daughter, I am more than able to perform the miracle that you need right now. Just trust me. Trust me and continue to love me. Continue to dance and rejoice before the King of Kings. No matter what is you see going down around about you. And I'm hearing God say, everything you see is not the truth. Enemy's trying to make you see things that aren't really there. He's even speaking falsehood into your life. He suggests some things are the truth, but not all things are the truth. He said, so stay before my face and let me separate and divide the false from the truth, so you will understand all things. You know, walking with God is not a mediocre walk. It is one of the most wonderful walks you'll ever want to walk. I heard somebody say, well, that little video that somebody, Olga, sent. She said, she was all dressed up. My fancy clothes, my jewelry don't make me. It's my scars and my wounds inside that make me the woman I am today. So I want all you men and all you women in here today to know that it's not your clothes that make you a child of God. It's your scars and your wounds that you're carrying inside from your past experiences that make you the woman or man of God that you are. And you ought to thank God for those scars and those wounds, because without them you wouldn't be the man or woman of God that you are. You wouldn't be the strong tower that others can run into. So don't curse your wounds and your scars. Rejoice over them, because if they weren't there, you wouldn't be where you are in Christ. And that's the absolute truth. And whenever God starts sending you out to minister to the lost and the dying, you can say to them, I was where you're at. I've always said I can't minister to a drug addict because I've never been a drug addict. I've never been an alcoholic. I've never been into perversion. I can't minister to those type of people. But I can tell you what the Word says. You know, but somebody who's been there, somebody who's been there can really minister to those people. Then they do this. They'll listen politely and they'll say they don't know what they're talking about. And they're right. I don't know what I'm talking about. I can only tell you and encourage you to keep moving because God is in control. And when I look around here, I see everybody in here has been in a mess. But when you come in here messed up. But God sent you here, or wherever you go to church, He sent you there so He could clean you up, so He could use you to minister to those multitude of lost and dying where you came from. Are you listening here? My Brad, you need to straighten up and do everything because you've been there. Brad, you've been there. Lisa, you've been there. You know, and Ethan, you've been there. You know, and I don't know what the rest of you do, but you've been there. And Alan, you've been there. And if you've been into perversion, you've been there. And you can tell somebody else, God brought me through. He can bring you through too. All right? That's why you come to church. You come to church so you can be encouraged and be built up so you can go out there and encourage and build up somebody else. If you're really walking with God, then everybody you knew or still know should see a difference in you. And they should say, you're not the same person I knew a week ago. They should never see the same old person. You should always be somebody new. Father, I thank you for the word this morning, and I know it's touched many hearts here. And even those who are listening. But Father God, I'm just asking you to do a perfect work with your children who came out to sit at your feet today. I'm asking, Father God, that you build them up. Build up their most holy faith. Bring them forth, Father God. Here's one, Grace, listen to me. I just heard God say as I pray, and I saw this. I want you as a flagger and another flagger there holding your flags up. Now I want you to stand there and make an arch. Now, Father God, I thank you and I praise you. All right, now as you get up, a row at a time, as you get up, as you walk through those flags, God's going to give you a boldness to go through whatever God's calling you to go through. And you won't ever again complain about the test or the trial that God is calling you to go through.